Dear Father, let me pray to you. I got so much to say to you. I was taught not to play with you, so I don't know why I do all the things that I do. First tell my daddy, I said, what it do? Hey dad, we love you and we missing you. Even though you went away at 52, Lord, I know it's better cause he's here with you. Been kinda nervous to take bigger steps, fear the higher heights and the deeper depths. I was cool with the mission that you gave me last, but it's new thing, can you pick them first and choose me last? Nevertheless, I'll do what you say. I'll get at it every single night and every day. Let your kingdom come, your will be done. Use my wife, my daughter, and my son.
As you move up, many devils to this, and let every devil throw pebbles to this. Rooted so deep, bring yourself to this. Think we stopping you wrong already. Promote Christ so he known already. My team deep and too strong already. You too late for we pack up the truck and we all jumping in. Taking my soldiers and leaving my friends. We call the kingdom the business of men. Thanking the Lord for another son. I'm preparing the way like another job. The kingdom come, we ain't never done. New levels to this is another one. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's time to go, it's time to go to another level. It's time to go, it's time to go to another level. It's time to go, it's time to go to another level. It's time to go, it's time to go to another level.
Praise the Lord, 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 amen, for another exciting day, a training day, a blessed day that the Lord has made, and we shouldn't do nothing less than rejoice and be glad in it. Here in Michigan, we're enjoying sunshine, finally. We got spring, officially. I mean, it's warm outside, praise God, at least for the next couple of days. Giving honor to Jesus Christ, the Lord God, Jehovah, and the Holy Ghost, amen, the head of my life, amen, to my pastor, producer, Pastor Gerald, amen, and his lovely wife, Sheila, amen, the saints and friends, amen, new and old, and I just thank God for you, amen. You know, it's such a blessed thing. Today is really a blessed day, amen, whenever you hear this. This is May 18th. 2021, and exactly 70 years ago, I was born. Amen. My mother told me she named me because she received some money on that day, so that's why I got the name Richard. But amen, praise God for that. Hallelujah. Let's go before the throne of grace. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you and bless you this day. Amen. We give you honor and glory because it all belongs to you. You're the God of righteousness, of justice, and of peace, and of love. And we just thank you that we even have the ability, the opportunity to come before your throne, which you said. And we can boldly come before your throne to be admitted, that we can obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. You're ready and willing and waiting, amen, because you fully understand this life. Amen. We're just beginning to learn about it. Father God, we're asking that you would bless us with the spirit of your wisdom and a deeper revelation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Bless the eyes of our understanding to be heightened, that it will grow more than what we know already, Lord. Amen. Bless us to know, Lord, what is the great inheritance that you have instilled upon us, the power that you have made available to us, Lord, and how we're supposed to respond with it. Lord, strengthen us with might and iron of man, particularly those that are still enduring bereavement, Lord. Perk up their hearts, Lord. Bless them with the revelation that this is just the first part of the beginning of life and not the end of life, and that there's better days coming, great and better days, Lord. Father, we're asking that you bless us with the knowledge of your will, which is why we're here, to hear your word from on high. Bless us, Lord, to have the strength and the courage to carry it out, so that we can walk upright before you and be fruitful in every good work. Bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. Father, I ask that you bless my mouth, bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts upon your people. I want it to be all of you and none of me, and I thank you for it right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. We began last week, I believe, talking about, of all things, the devil, the opposition. And I've heard a few conversations about him, and I mean, it's, and I'm doing this, like I said, I have a lot of new people, and my goal, my mission that was given to me was about the millennials, people that, you know, you 40, 50, 60, and 80, you pretty much made up your mind. Well, it can be changed with a lot of prayer. But this generation, the millennials and the Gen Zs, come into an environment that a lot of us used to dream about. I mean, they come into actually a more wholesome world. The devil is trying to act up. And my goal is here, through the holy help of the Holy Ghost, is to make them aware of just really what is happening. See, it isn't just the flesh. You know, matter of fact, I think as we want to read, start with, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, because you got to understand, if you do not understand this psychology, you're going to be a victim. I've seen, you know, I did 31 years in law enforcement, and I did more than half of that working inside the jail. And the thing that amazed me was normal people coming to jail and having no clue. They even tell the judge they don't know what happened because they don't. See, if you do not accept the reality of God and do not accept the reality of Satan, it's easier for Satan to manipulate you. Someone once said the best trick that Satan ever played was convincing people he did not exist. I mean, there are people with degrees, college professors, that tell you that there's no devil other than our own personal devil. But that's because they don't know God. You know, I can't believe a man that don't know God, because we're going to talk a little bit how that happens anyway. But it says, I'm reading from the NIV. Matter of fact, it says, it said, finally, I'm going to start with verse 10. It said, finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. You know, if you don't get that, you're going to be misled of yourself. You know, I want to read in 1 John 2:16. This is the part of the devil's plan. This is what he does. This is what he thrives on. Understand, he's had going on close to 6,000 years to study our psychology, which hasn't changed much. You know, when you read history books, you will often find that a lot of the previous scholars of past think the same way the scholars today think. You know, when you look back and you see all the different cultures, and yet we note some of these men, although they were pagan in their belief, were highly intelligent individuals. But they made the mistake of not getting on their knees or even standing before God and just calling out and asking him to make known himself, because that's, you know, without that, it's not going to have, it may not happen. You know, they did not have as many people praying, knowing with authority back then, 3,000 years ago, as we do today. And we have thousands, millions of Christians today that have authority to pray that are supposed to be praying that don't. And as a result, we have this general chaos. Okay, we just read that, and now I want to read what Satan played, how he lays out his attack plan. He deceives. That's the biggest thing about him. He is a master deceiver, but he can only deceive you if you let him. Last week, if you remember, we've read in Ephesians 4:27 where it says, "Don't give place to the devil." Okay, and it lets you know that he gets in and he manipulates a person. If you're not prepared to resist him, if you don't know how to resist him by not knowing the word of God, if you don't know the word of God, then you open territory. You're just an open target. You're a big target, you know, easy to take out. I mean, the whole goal, like I said, is your destruction, you know. Even if you serve him, you're going to end up in destruction. But I don't think nobody listening to me today, you know, right now is going down that road. 1 John 2:15, it says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world." Now, you got to get a revelation on what he's talking about. Here, one, the word love is agapeo, as opposed to agape. But it is basically saying it's almost as you put it above men. You put it above a relationship. You would put it above. That's when a man is so in pursuit of possessions, of things, and that he neglects his family and his life and everything else because he wants these things. It's almost like an addiction. You know, you have people that have to go through therapy because they don't believe God. And the reason I say that is because if God has promised you something, it can always fit into a normal lifestyle. No, not totally normal, but you won't have to be neglecting your family. You know, I was listening to this man of God last week, and he was talking about being out of balance, even as a man of God. And I've seen that through the years. My first pastor died. He worked himself literally to death. That's what happened. He wouldn't take a break. Even when we tried to help, he'd find more to do. I realized how serious this life is. But also God realizes that we're human and God requires balance. Okay, he has balance. I'm not dealing with that particularly today. But he used the word agapeo where the first love is, where it says love not the world. Okay, and in the Greek, that's the agapeo is the Greek term of that. The word lust is epithumia. Epithumia, that's another Greek word, and it's a longing. Now, I use this in this particular, forgot what it's called right away, lexicon, the word concupiscence, that is, it's almost like an overwhelming addiction. I mean, it's extreme. It's like I can't sleep because of this. Nothing on this planet is that important but God. If you lose the sleep talking with God, that's one thing, because he'll give you rest. But if you lose in sleep because you worried about a business or a bill or even your children, you're supposed to pray and leave it to rest. This is what rest is about. You just pray and leave that. Now, we're going to go back to what the problem is, okay? And that is in Genesis chapter 3. Now, we're going to see how Satan worked that from the beginning. On the first, we're going to do the two temptations. Hopefully I should get to both of them. And now this is the first one. Now, this is the deal, okay? God recreated the earth. He done got Adam, and then he done gave him a wife, Eve, and he gave Adam specific instructions about the garden. What belongs to Adam and what belongs to God. In your life, there's what belongs to God and what belongs to you. That's what tithing is about. Everything don't belong to you. You're not self-sufficient. As much as you might want to try to be, you're not. I mean, you are to a degree, but you can't make it without God. You don't want to find that out the hard way. Anyway, it says, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat of any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat of the fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And this is the kicker right here. It says, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they realized that they were naked. And that kind of goes with the territory. There's some things about yourself you don't really want to know until the proper time. Okay, this is what happened when it comes to people experimenting with alcohol and drugs. You never find a person becoming an alcoholic if they never drink. Okay, and I realize that I'm not going to kick in alcohol, but there's a time and a place for everything. It's never been one of my favorites. I like these new, what I call non-wines, these non-alcoholics. I never liked the alcohol thing. But anyway, what it does is put you into a touch of senses that without mediation, without guidance, you can lose control and get a misinterpretation of who you are. See, Satan realizes this. When you go and you look at Ezekiel 28 and you see that Satan is dwelling on earth, okay? Now, at that time, see, he had to have discovered his authority and power. And power is for resisting, for overcoming. So when he began to see his power, he made a serious, egregious error, okay? Rather than worship God and praise God for it, he started contemplating, is it enough to overthrow God? That was totally delusional. The fact that he did not he didn't go through the process of life like we did. God just spoke and he came. Boom, that was the end of that. He did not spend 9 months in his mama's womb or none of that. He didn't have a mama to spend 9 months in their womb. He just appeared and he appeared full grown, fully equipped, fully intelligent. Like I said, his IQ, comparatively to a human being, I'd say on the level of 2,500. I mean, this is how he's able to perpetrate such schemes. I would go into more detail on that, but, I know people can't. They are struggling with accepting this basic reality, that there is a devil, and he is behind perpetrating, and that it is the responsibility of Christians to go after him. That's what prayer is about. That's why when the Bible tells us to pray for those in authority, it's directing us because we're praying against those spirits like Satan that influence government. That's what it's talking about. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Okay, you got examples. Daniel, when he prayed in Daniel chapter 4, one of the evilest kings that ever walked the planet. But when Daniel and them got through praying, that man was on his knees declaring that the Lord is God. See, the whole point here that Satan was is still after authority, after power. See, why did he come to manipulate them? See, but at the same time, human nature is something you have to pay attention to, because it's a powerful position to be in. But the fact that God gave us dominion, the fact that you can take your hand and open and close it and send 10 million signals to billions of cells in an instant. I mean, we do this. We act as though the glove, the hand, the skin on the hand is a glove that's in one piece. Even a glove, if you had a glove, if you looked at it under an analysis microscope, you'll see it's made of molecules. We're commanding things that we really don't comprehend. We don't look at it in that detail. And in the past, you couldn't, because they did not have the equipment. But now we have the equipment, to see what's going on in that world, which tells us why we have to be more conscious of our responsibility. See, again, when you're praying, you're commanding spiritual activity. You're commanding angels against demons, okay? And so now, remember this. The Bible says they that live godly. If you live godly, you're going to pray, okay? You're going to pray. And you shall suffer persecution. But the word that is persecution means it's going to come from a person. Okay, not execution, persecution. So there is going to come from a person, because God uses people, Satan uses people. And yes, this is a weeding out process. You know, Jesus used the phrase separating the wheat from the chaff. The chaff was the unusable byproduct in farming. You know, they burned up the chaff. You kept the wheat, you made bread and whatever they make with wheat. Food. It was good for the being, but chaff is good for nothing. And this is how this is life. That's another reality. Satan sought control, and as a result, he ended up with control. Now let me show you how he got control. Now we're gonna go to the second temptation, and that involves Jesus himself. We're going to Matthew chapter 4. And now, matter of fact, I'm missing something. Let me go back. Go back to Genesis chapter 3. My bad. I want you to see play here. First off, I just want you to see here what Eve got, how Satan used this. Now, mind you, this was compared to the time of Jesus back, say, 4,000 years. But later on, when John wrote the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, look at how this is going. Verse 6, Genesis 3:6, it says, when the woman saw, that's lust of the eyes, okay? When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, huh? Lust of the flesh. Pleasing to the eye and desirable for gaining wisdom, the pride of life. She took some and ate it. This, that pride, that word pride, in my notes, is, in the Greek, is alazonia. Alazonia, A-L-A-Z-O-N-E-I-A. And it is, one aspect is braggadocious, bragging rights, self-confidence. And when you listen to people that say there is no God, you will clearly hear that, because they think that all that is, this little bit that we have in life is so grand that it is, you know. Now, I don't want to take nothing from that little bit of creativity, but on the scale of things, it's really nothing, okay? Jesus, as I've said before, did not go to an airline to leave when he went to heaven. Okay, he just floated on up into space. Complete command of the molecular atmosphere in every aspect. And this is what this is about. This is not just about, if you die now, you go to heaven. But when Jesus come back, we're going to spend 1,000 years on this earth. Okay, but your being, your existence will be like his. Jesus' body right now does not have blood. But yet he can endure. He can he has life because he is a full spiritual person. We talked about Enoch. Enoch is a full spiritual person. Elijah, Moses, there's a different, they are where we're going. But it is, I can't believe that God would be going through this, sending us through this. Is too, for it to be for something just as trying to get points to get in heaven, and it ain't about that. Because he could have made it a lot easier. This is about ruling and reigning. The universe is still expanding. Why? Why would God expand the universe if he had no need for it? I mean, that's not him. God does everything with a reason. And the magnitude of what we go through in life and have gone through in life, I was in a discussion the other day with somebody about how we're not more intelligent than they were 5,000 years ago. God would not let them progress with the intelligence they have. Mathematics is mathematics. Adam's first son, Cain, was the one that came up with weights and measures. That's in his nature. Why? Because when you look in Genesis chapter 2, when God made Adam, he put his spirit in there. He didn't put an angelic spirit in there. He put a higher level spirit, but it requires deep training, particularly in the area of being able to manage love in any circumstances. And if you've been around a while, you know that's not easy. I've had 70 years of practice. Well, I've had 45 or 70 years practicing. And it took time. I had to first get into the Word and begin to see the reality of what God's objective was. And that thing, love, when I first read 1 Corinthians 13:4-8, I basically told God he was crazy. He's so merciful, praise his name. But I knew that was it. It wasn't long after that, a man of God said the same thing, broke it down, analyzed it. See, and it's amazing. We think it's simple, because we can get it right a few times. But look at what's going on in the world right now. How would you respond if somebody, in anger, call your name? You know what name I'm talking about. If they white, you black, you know what they're going to call you. The other way around. you black, you white, they black. You black, they white. What would you do if a black person called you a name? How you going to respond? What is your response for them? See, my response, and I had to learn this over time. I've had a lot of practice, believe me, you can imagine working in a jail with people. I worked not only in the jail, I worked in the area where they had nothing to lose. They knew they were guilty, going to prison for life, forever. So fighting you, throwing stuff at you, that was to be expected. I mean stuff, I'm talking waste material, human waste material. And then God will say, pray for them. You're like, that's not religious. Because you're not using a typical weapon. The weapon of our warfare, it's not carnal. 2 Corinthians 10, it's not carnal. See, being consciously minded of that is the same as though when you work in the street as law enforcement. Now, I was different. When I worked, when I drove, if I was in a car, my gun was between my lap. It was not in a holster. Once I heard the statistic that 80% of police officers die with their gun in the holster, every chance I got, mine was out. I never walked up to a car with a snap. I didn't mind you complaining that my hand was on the gun. But, and you public enemy number one. All right? But see, my point here is now when I go to Kroger or anywhere, I'm conscious of the fact that I may run into a person being manipulated by a demon to try to aggravate me. Now, I'm a person. I believe in Luke 22:36 is a final order from Jesus. And that means that if you swing on me, I ain't got to turn the other cheek. And that's why I carry a .40 cal, too, just in case. That's the difference from turning other cheek. It's final order. I'm not going to explain what that means, but unless you've been in the military law, bottom line, if you've been in the military law enforcement, any officer above you can give you an order, and the last order you get is the standard order. But anyway, point of the matter is, it's being sensitive to that. I see a traffic, I see a cop car with the lights flashing, I'm praying angelic protection. Doesn't matter if he's saved or not, I don't have to know. The fact that God might do something that might drive him to get saved. A lot of police officers talk about miraculous events. That's why a lot of them are saved. If you're not saved and you're a police officer, you got a serious mental problem, that's for sure. Because you run into trouble. I pray for y'all daily, because I know what it's like. All right. So what are we talking about here? See, so Satan wants to gain power. For the new people, if you go to the website, millennialkingdomtraining.com or R.O. Ross Sr. On YouTube and look up the series, Seven Reasons That Prayer Fail. The reason for that is because it's not that God is, he's fully aware that you're gonna come up short. For one simple reason, you are not God. He is the only person that will always get it 100% right all the time. You'll get better. You'll get some time frame in between errors and the areas that you need to focus on the most. One of the things that help with that is constant communication with him, understanding that he's training you to higher levels of power. You get to the place where you pray so much in advance, like they say, pray that angels go before you to clear the path. And if they get past that, okay, expect that God needed you there to be able to minister specifically to that person. That's another thing. I hopefully will get to dealing with being led of the Spirit. Because you have to really, now it is very crucial, because the reason I'm talking about this is because I knew with the Holy Spirit, John 16:13, I believe. Anyway, let me look it up to be for sure. Because I want you to understand that as a lot of things that people don't believe now, they're going to believe. And people looking for, John 16:13 said, but when he, talking about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears from heaven, and he will tell you what is yet to come. So, see, I didn't just do a lot of research to try to, I really don't care what goes on in NASA, but I learned a long time ago. How do you explain a billion people just all over the world just disappeared in a blink of an eye? You know, they made a movie, for those of you that haven't seen it, it's called Left Behind. Go and check it out, especially the one with Nicolas Cage. I like both of them, but I like that one better. You know, special effects and all that. But understand, this is next. But leading up to that, what are you going to do? I'm really of a mind to say there's going to be a really clearly identifiable, seen on national news, talked about every day, every hour, UFO. But if I'm right, and I know I am, it won't land in America. But it would not be if anybody should exit. It would have to have landed in either India or China, somewhere where Christianity does not dominate, because demons cannot manifest in front of a Christian. I don't care if you're drunk on the sidewalk. Holy Ghost is that powerful. See, we don't understand the power of this. This is not something we can take out and analyze. We have to live through this thing to find out how powerful the Holy Spirit is. And one of the ways to do that is through prayer. All right. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 4 and watch the master in action. Same situation. The Bible in the book of Romans, I believe, chapter 5, talks about two Adams. First Adam being Adam. You know, and the second Adam being Jesus, okay? Both went through the same temptation, okay? It says, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert where he was tempted by the devil. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, I don't recommend you doing that. Okay. That's an invitation by God only. Now, you know, he was hungry. And the tempter, that's his name, Satan, came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to be made, become bread. Now, okay, and Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Now, that's how you deal with thoughts. You deal with the word. You deal with thoughts with the word. This is how you defeat lust of the flesh. When the and you got to know when it is and when it ain't. But and you can only know when it is by knowing the psychology of God, according to his, which is written in his word. There's excess, okay? And then and you have to have an ongoing communication with God. God don't have a problem with you having things. He have a problem with things having you to the point that he can't get you to part with it. You know, I'll never forget. I know somebody had been given a very they got a watch. Somebody gave them a watch that cost more than both my cars together. And they kept them for probably a few weeks, and then they gave it away. You know, but they also was directed to the Lord to give it away. They had no problem because it's a saying that somebody created. If God can get it through you, he can get it to you, and you can have. Psalm 37:4 is a promise to you. You can have the delight. God, if you delight yourself in the Lord, that means you don't grumble about being an usher, grumble about just being a greeter at the door because you're not pastor, grumble about being an assistant pastor and you think you should be pastor. God gives out promotion. You know, I don't know where that came from. I know where that came from because I've seen people like that. You'll never get me begging God for that position. People think, they look at the blessings. You know why pastors get blessed? Because they bless people's lives. They come into people's lives, they get called 3-4 o'clock in the morning, and then they got to go and answer, and God moves them mightily. They show up at the hospital, and God moves mightily. That's why people do that. Don't get caught up in that stuff. Why this pastor got that? Why that? Listen, I've been on the other end of that. I know a situation where man of God went into the hospital. Yeah, I got time. He went to the hospital to visit one person, all right? And while he was there, this man approached him and said, can you pray for my son? He said, no problem. And he went in. He didn't know this man. He's out to visit this person because it was a friend of his, you know. So he came. He went. He did. He didn't know he was going to meet that guy. He didn't know who that guy was. So he went in the room, the other room, prayed for the child, and left. Okay? Came back to Detroit. Now, he done went from Detroit to New York. All right? The man hired a private detective to track him down. Why? Because God did a miracle for his son. That boy was going to die, and the man of God laid hands on him. Now, to get that done, you got to be living right. I can't tell if you're living right. I can take your word for it. I won't deny you if you tell me. I ain't going to even ask you. And I know people ain't perfect. People be talking stuff, but I don't even talk that stuff. And even God, he's so good, when he going to do the healing, he used crazy people. He used weird people. He used people that got issues because he's trying to deliver his love. That's the key. That I think of myself as a package of God's love going somewhere to be delivered. I mean, I do think like that. That's how God wants us to think. I'm not never upset by being used by God, but let's finish this because, okay. Now, we didn't got through the lust of the flesh. That's why he said man does not live by bread alone. We see a lot of that today. My wife likes to watch this TV show because she's lost quite a bit of weight. You know, and I can't imagine being 600 pounds, but I know that's demonic, okay? And, you know, so if you see somebody like that and they want prayer, pray for them. Amen. It's the same as a drug addiction. It's the result of a broken heart somewhere in there. Something in their spirit is broke. Amen. All right. Then the devil took him up to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple and said again, if you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. Now, if you really compare that to Psalm 91, where he quotes that from, look what he's doing. Now, see, this is why you have to be really conscious of what's going on. He's quoting scripture. He's quoting from Psalm 91, okay? He's perverting the scripture. He's not misquoting, and that's what that praise God, that's what he did with Eve. He perverted what was told to her, and he'll do that to you. He'll pervert. He'll take something good. You know, I believe Paul, he said, all things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. Choice of words, expedient. See, the necessity a lot of times you have to be, again, it's challenging to be conscious of all the things that are directly related to our relationship with God. But it takes that, and it takes time. That's why we allowed time. That's why he is so merciful. That's why it says, if a man falls seven times, the Lord will pick him up seven times. Let me tell you, God picked me up more than seven times. I don't keep track, okay? I don't fall as much as I used to, but it happens. And if I do, because he's picked me up before, you know, I want to know how I got down there, what happened. Because it don't just happen. A lot of Satan is slick, man. He works on you for a while. He try to weaken you. And then eventually, boom. And see, but he couldn't do this with Jesus. Why? Jesus' response, for it is written. Wait a minute. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, no, this is the one. It says, Jesus answered. It is, all right, I was right. Amen. It is also written, do not put your Lord God to the test. You know, there are a lot of things, there are different things right now that people are probably putting God to the test on. Let me tell you something, saints. Okay, because drugs are legal. You're legally giving them the opportunity, one, to destroy brain cells. You're not going to get them back. You can't remake them. They don't regrow them. They say you can. But you're also putting out a mindset that leads for Satan for an opportunity to kill you. See, because someone showed me a container, and you know what, our first thing I noticed, it had no measurement standard on there. So if the person took everything that was in the container, and I don't think the government, remember you got an enemy. See, I don't know why, that's why I'm going this way, because I know what I spent 10 years as a drug addict, and I can tell you, you might have fun while you're doing it, but it's going to cost you in the end. There's a reason God delivered me from that, okay? And it's, I understand it's challenging, and I understand the benefits, but managing that, you got to be very prayerful and careful about that. That's just one area. Same thing with alcohol. You got to be careful. I tell you two areas that really you have to work on, and that is credit cards and eating. Because I've seen a lot of gluttony going on. I mean, some people, you know, like me, I crashed a motorcycle in 1988. The smallest I got was 185 pounds. And that was because I had to drink, one of them little containers of food. I couldn't take none because I had internal organ damage. And that was the smallest I would get. So some people are not going to be, no matter what you do, you're not going to be. Back in the 70s, they had this little girl called Twiggy. She was truly, I didn't see nothing sexy about her at all. Me, I like softness, but I'm not, you know, I'm talking about something else. But that is a lust of the flesh still, you know. All right, so what Satan is, again, he's trying to gain authority, because if he can flip Jesus, he got the power. See, because note that in Genesis, from Genesis 3:15 was the first declaration that Jesus was coming. So he knew at some point he was going to lose power. He's still confused that he's able to run people in the world. But he also knows this thing coming to an end, because it's written. Okay? All right. So now the devil took him up to a very high mountain. Now we get into the pride of life. And the devil took him up to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And all this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. And Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Okay? And I like what one translation said, he left him for a season. Now, you know, I've never watched the whole program of the Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, you know. And again, the Bible said that Abraham was very rich and very rich to the point that he had his own army, because he used his army to overthrow five kings to rescue his nephew Lot. So the man wasn't poor. And if you look in Luke chapter 16, you see that he's in paradise, and when Jesus preached to them, he left with Jesus, you know, where you get later on Ephesians, and he says he led captivity captive. That's when he took them out of there. But he left the other guy that was in the other part of hell. All right. So it's not an issue. The issue is, can God consistently get you to do with his wealth what needs to be done? And there's a process to it. There's a process to it, okay? And because I've gotten in trouble. I got in trouble once for helping somebody. I'm thinking, they're Christian. You know, I know them. They just over hard times. And yet, it was almost kind of confusing, because I'm like, but I could feel the Holy Spirit, like, pushing back. And I'm like, but they need help. I mean, they really need help. So I went on and did it anyway. And I'll never do that. Listen, I'll never do that again. And I got a warning for you. If you've been a Christian for 30 years, God expects you to act like a Christian that's been a Christian for 30 years and not one that's been a Christian for 30 days. Okay? Let me tell you about that. Your whooping is going to be for a 30-year Christian. Believe me. You know, I would, woo. But, all right, now let's get back to the issue here. It's too much when people are without. King Solomon was known as one of the wisest men ever, okay? He had an economy where there were rich and there were not so rich. When the Queen of Sheba came to see him, you know, when you read other documentation on that, that was, I forgot which country that is today. I believe it's Oman, but I'm not sure. But I know it was a Middle Eastern country. Anyway, but she came. She brought him a gift. They said an estimate, I think, maybe $5, $10 million estimate wealth worth. But she noted the economy, noted that whatever level you chose life, or with life, you know, some people can only get to a certain level. I mean, nobody gets to pick how intelligent they're going to be, you know. And the Bible said the strong among us are to take care of the weak. And like I said, there's a lot of issues around that. That's covered. Everything's covered in the Bible. Everything is covered in the Bible, you know. I recently saw a guy sitting on the corner. He's sitting on the corner begging, got on almost new clothes and an earring, a diamond in his earring. And I'm like, okay, I don't know. Seems like you should be begging for a job. But I wait on the Holy Spirit. And usually what'll pop up is, he said, he that giveth unto the Lord, he that giveth unto the poor, lendeth unto the Lord, and the Lord shall surely repay him. Now, what I was taught about that, and I never dug into it because I don't care, but I do know it's true. And it says that particular scripture says if you give $10, you're going to get $10 back. Okay, you're not going to get exceedingly and abundantly above all you think I ask, just in case you do. But I also believe that when I pray over money, that the anointing goes with it. And one day we'll talk about that, what the anointing is. But when the we is, I'm just following orders. All right. But the point here is that you look at the world today, right now, we should not have homeless in America. And I really believe anybody over $10 million in wealth that isn't running a business, that just got money sitting in a bank, I could think of some people, I think you have a hard time, they would have a hard time passing God's judgment because of that guy in Luke chapter 16. Okay? Both of them were Jewish descent, Israeli descent in Luke chapter 16, and one that you won't even take care of your own brother. And then with God, everybody is either a child of God or the creation of God, but they belong to God. And if it's God's money, it ain't yours. If you've been to a funeral, you know two things. They don't even take their body with them, let alone have a U-Haul to take their stuff with them, okay? People have these delusions, all right? And again, this issue is critical because look at what's going on right now, these PPP loans. That's incredible. I'm going to tell you something. In my 70 years of being on this planet, and you can check in history, the government ain't never dug down this deep to give people money like they're doing now. They'll give you two loans based on their criteria, and I'll let you apply for a grant, which is a third money that you don't have to pay back. I only knew the mob that told you didn't have to pay it back, and that was in The Godfather, but he said one day he might ask you for a favor, you know what I'm saying? But bottom line is, I've been hearing probably 20 years now, the greatest wealth transfer is about to occur. That's prophetic. Okay, that's what I believe in. That's part of James, James chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, Proverbs 13:22, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. So, you know, it's going to happen, but if you go back and you look at Israel, you'll find that that's an area that Satan manipulated and used against him. When you read Isaiah, study Isaiah chapter 1, you will find the term vain oblations. And vain, which we know is without God, an oblation is really a word that means offering. So, you know, when I asked God about that, I'm like, could have just said offering. But he wanted to emphasize the vainness, the disconnect from God. And to the point that, like I said, money had become God. And if you look around, like I said, in America, like look at California. Come on, you got homeless and billionaires. Let's say you had to come down and God say, okay, I want you to give away $900 million, but this is what I want you to do. And I want you to set up these training facilities so these people can get the skill set. And then I want you to start this company so they can use the skill set. God will give you a plan. He ain't going to just have you just throw the money out there. You know, you may throw some out there so they can get some food in the place to stay, yada, yada, whatever they need. All right? But see, this is the whole point. Now, and what do they want from this? We go back to what it says, pride, braggadocious, self-sufficiency. This is, I got this. This is mine. Okay, until you choke. The same thing in Luke chapter 12. We got time? Yeah. Well, in Luke chapter 12, let's give you the skimmy. Same thing. You got a man, he filled up a barn. Hey, I'm good. He filled up a second barn. The Lord said, wait a minute. You're holding back too much. Scripture is clear on that. Bottom line is, you don't want your life to be separated from God. Right now, in this time in history, it is not anywhere like the past. You cannot think of this, what went on 50 years ago, what went on 30 years ago, 20 years, 10 years ago. You really need to be critically focused on where you are right now with God, because things are going to happen. I'm telling you, things are going to happen. And one of the things that I've seen Satan do, particularly with children of Israel, see, when you're down, like I said, man, when he's down, he only had one way to look up. He only had one way. But when you're up, if you put yourself on a pedestal, every direction you go is down. And Satan that's his objective. Again, what do you do to distract people? I mean, when you think about money, you know, the people now I understand driving cars for the effect. I mean, I like G-Force and driving a high-powered car. Okay, but I wouldn't own one. So you would look at me and say, oh, there's Richard in that car. I really could care less. I really, really do care less. And, you know, that's, you know, but people get caught up in stuff. You know, I've had people, I had on some clothes one day, and a guy asked me, was that a such and such? And I'm like, nah, I would not know. All I know is what I paid. I bought it. You know, I got some shirt. I remember I bought a shirt. I was recommended. And this person, I took their advice. I bought the shirt. For me to buy a what I call a basic shirt to go with a suit that costs almost as much as some suits I have bought. But I'm thinking, me, I'm not going to buy this often, and it's going to go to the cleaners. And I noticed that some shirts nap faster than others, and then I noticed that some don't. Well, they weren't. I didn't know things about thread count. So there's a legitimate reason for buying things, but at all, when it comes down to it, if God got to part you from it, can you part? Does God mean what means the most to you? Because this is going to be critical going forward. Look at what is happening. You really, I know on some ends it's bad. You know, there's a reason these people are not just going to work. They got money in their pocket. I tried to explain to people where that money come from, and it's more coming because Satan knows he can use the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Because if you... Jesus did not need, he was not seeking man's approval. Because what was his response? You shall worship the Lord your God and him only. And that's the bottom line on that. You can tell, like I said, if you got to put God to the side to have it, you got to put God to the side to get it, you got to put God to the side to get it or her or him, it's idolatry. And that's one of the most powerful addictions going today. I mean, look at what people are doing. I mean, they're risking dying from COVID for idolatry. I want to go back and hang out the bar. I want to end it. And there's a right way and a wrong way to do everything. God said in Timothy, he said, he's given us all things to enjoy. So, but anyway, I hope I've helped you, but it's up to you to keep your mind on the Lord. And it's going to be very, 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 very critical in these last days because the level of deception, and then the thing about it is, see, what get people is, when you get, like I've seen, if you look up history, and you, I don't know if they got his movie on there, there's a story, it was a man called Jim Jones, amen, he passed himself off as a preacher. I'm not going to call him a man of God. I'll call him a preacher. And he led people. They followed him in ignorance and ended up, a vast majority of them, ended up dying. See, but that's how Satan works. See, but again, you had them things at play, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Can't nobody ever tell you anything according to the word. See, I've had people correct me. See, but always with the word. You can't just correct me, but you can correct me with the word, okay? Because when you're like that, God will look out for you. See, I mean, because sometimes you get things wrong because you are trying to do some things. And I mean, this is your first trip, and I mean, it's everybody's been here their first time, but I want you to get the best out of life. It's about having balance. God up at top. Now, with that may be somebody that have never received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And that's powerful because you're not just saying something religiously. There's a legal interaction that goes on that can only occur when you open your mouth and invite him in. Then he can come in and speak directly to you. Because you want your verification from any information that you had from anybody to be verified by the Holy Spirit in you. See, that's a place that only you and God can go, inside you. That literally happens. See, if we turn red or something when we receive Christ, people would find it easier to believe. But Jesus said it's better for, greater is he that believe that haven't seen than he that have seen and believe. So this is why this occurred, but trust me, you will notice an inner man voice difference that you don't have now. And you work on that and develop that over the years, but it has to begin. without Jesus' life blood being applied to you, that interaction cannot begin. So let us pray this prayer. God in heaven, I do believe you. I believe that Jesus Christ is your son. I believe you sent him to die for our sins. And I believe that I was born in sin. And I ask right now for forgiveness for my sin. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart and to save me now. And if you're backslidden, just repent. Because life throws, believe me, I've been there. I know the war. I've been knocked down a few times. So just say this, Lord God, forgive me. I have forgiveness for my sin, and I believe I receive it. And I thank you for it right now in Jesus' name, according to John 1:9, amen. And that's what it takes. But again, like I say, things to do, read the word every day. Read a little bit of old, read a little bit of new. Never read without praying and asking God for revelation. It takes you all of 15 seconds. You want God involved in that because he's preparing you for eternal life. Eternal life. Eternal life. That's life forever. And at a level that you can't comprehend. None of us can. But we just know it's greater than what this is. And with that, I'm going to just leave you with my phrase. Remember, prayer works by faith. Faith works by love. And God is love. Shalom. Be blessed. Amen. Hallelujah.
Your boy.
I got a plug on the love if you need something. I know them dudes you mess with usually be frontin'. All I gotta do is call his name, he coming. No taxing or action, what you need from him. He'll provide anything you need, if you just believe. All it takes is faith the size of a mustard seed. And you can reach any goal that you're trying to reach. My plug love stretch far away beyond the streets. No petty ish, my plug on that heavy ish. Think Sosa mixed with Ox off that belly ish. Yeah, I know you like the sound of that. Been searching around for that, you on my head, trying to see where I found him at. It was early one Sunday morning. I was down on my luck and plenty storms kept forming. Just trying to find a way. I prayed to God to see better days. Then he told me that he got me, I'm forever straight. You look around, you need that love.
That love, I got a heavenly plug. I got a heavenly plug.
Got many blessings and they from him above. Because
I got a heavenly plug. I got a heavenly plug.
I quit hustling, slanging them drugs. You ask why? Don't need for bucks, all he need is your trust. For you to praise him when you get back up. Now I've been getting up from God about a year straight. And everything been smooth, yeah, I've been straight. He ain't never told me no, maybe just wait. And he always been on time, he never been late. Sometimes when I be tripping and get impatient, he made me realize I'm winning cause of his greatness. He said his grace and his mercy endure forever. If I repent of all my sins, he'll forgive whatever that I did in my past, knowing it wasn't right. If I turn away from sin, he'll give me a new life. So I tried him out, it only made sense. Now I'm on the ground for Jesus and I can't quit. The devil want me to fall and yeah, I may slip. But God wrap his arms around me so I can't trip. Now when I go out in the world, his blessings are with me so I can let my light shine. That's just the God in me and you can be the same way. And have the same faith, but you got a chance. Cause me, I ain't the same Dre. It won't happen overnight or all in one day. But he's able by the children, man, my God don't play. So is you down with it? What you trying to do? You wanna call him up? Well, this is how you do it. Get down on your knees and keep your head to the sky. Make a promise to the world that you gon' serve God.
You look around, you need that love.
That love, I got a heavenly plug. I got a heavenly plug.
Got many blessings and they from him above. Because
I got a heavenly plug. I got a heavenly plug.
I quit hustling, slanging them drugs. You ask why?
I found a heavenly plug. I found a heavenly plug.
Don't need for bucks, all he need is your trust. For you to praise him when you get back up.
It's your boy, Ariel Jones.